Well, I just want to just reiterate the warm welcome that has already been given. It is good just to see the wee hall so well filled in this first night of this special series of meetings, and we just want to give everyone a very warm and a very sincere welcome, and really mean that. It is good to see you. For many folks, Sunday is actually quite a busy day. I know it's supposed to be the weekend and the time off, but for many Christians, particularly Sunday's very busy with different services in different places. So I know there's folks here and you've been at a number of services already today, and we appreciate you making the effort to come to this one as well. And it's good just to see everyone that's here, maybe folks here, and this is the first time you've ever been in the wee hall here. And then we just want to make you doubly welcome and trust that you will feel at home here. And that as you listen to the message, that you might just hear God really speaking to your heart, because that's what these meetings are all about. They're not just invited to come and hear a preacher, but we're really here that we might hear the voice of God, because God still speaks. We were thinking about that on Thursday night with a wee meeting down in Cumnock and a wee drop-in centre that we have down there, and we were really speaking about the fact that God still speaks. God still speaks. And the reason God still speaks is because God's got a message. God's got a message that he wants to communicate to us. It's a message of love. And that's what we've been singing about in these two hymns that we've just sung. We've been singing about the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus. And how wonderful just on a Sunday night just to gather here, just to remind our hearts that there's an almighty God in heaven that loves us. And he wants to communicate that message of love to our hearts tonight. And not only is it a message of love, but it's a message of forgiveness. Because that's really the greatest need that faces men and women tonight. And you Cumnock in the area all round about us. The greatest need is to know and to experience and to enjoy the forgiveness of God. We're all sinners. We've disobeyed God. We've rebelled against God. We've disappointed God. We've broken his laws. We've come under his judgment. But he's a God of love. And he's provided salvation in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross. And God is really telling us tonight that through this man, through the Lord Jesus that died on the cross, there is preached unto us the forgiveness of sins. And that can be your experience tonight, that you can leave this little building at the end of the meeting in the enjoyment of your sins forgiven, every spot and stain washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So we're glad to see you, and we trust you'll come back night after night, but we trust above all things that before even the meeting's finished tonight, that you would come in simple faith and trust to the Lord Jesus. I want to read some verses from the Bible, and they're found in the Gospel according to Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we're going to read the first 15 verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 1 says, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem. And they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drave him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now that is a scripture reading for tonight, and we know that God blesses his word to our hearts. I just want very simply this evening just to pick out one or two ideas and thoughts that we have presented to us in these verses. We noted at the very beginning of this book, this gospel, that Mark takes up his pen and he writes about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So right at the very opening of this little book, Mark wants to intimate to us. He wants us to know that his little book is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the glad tidings. That's what the word gospel simply means. This is a gospel hall. This is a gospel meeting. And gospel simply means good news. And that was what Mark was writing about these 2,000 years ago. He was writing about the good news. The good news concerning the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're preaching night by night here in the hall in Newcomer. We're preaching good news, glad tidings concerning the Lord Jesus. You know, the very fact that we're preaching good news should really mean that the hall should be filled every night. Because it doesn't matter when we turn on our television, what news program we watch or what newspaper we read. We're constantly confronted with news that is sad and bad. That would grieve us. That would distress us. That would disappoint us. That would sink us into a state of gloom and dismay. But my friend, the message that we're preaching tonight, and the message we'll preach every night, is good news. It's good news. And my friend, I don't know the state of mind that you're in tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're depressed. Maybe you're downcast. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're burdened. My friend, I've got good news for you tonight. Good news from heaven. Good news from the printing press of glory. From the very heart of the eternal God. God's got good news for you tonight. Whoever you are and whatever condition you're in, there's good news. And it's good news concerning the Lord Jesus. That's what Mark was writing about. That's what we're preaching about every night. Good news concerning Jesus Christ. My friend, you'll discover tonight and every night in the little hall that we are preaching Christ. I'm not here to preach myself. I'm not here to preach a new religion or even an old religion. We're not here to promote the interest of one church or another church. But my friend, we're here to preach good news. The good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all that Mark wanted to do was just to introduce people to Jesus. And that's why these meetings have been convened here in the Gospel Hall. It's the desire of our hearts that men and women would be introduced to the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the friend of sinners. And we've already indicated in our opening remarks that we're all sinners. And we're lost in our sin. And we're weary in our sin. Mark says there's good news. There's good news concerning the Lord Jesus. He's the friend of sinners. And my friend, we're preaching the Lord Jesus tonight. And our only desire is that you might come to know him. It's not our desire that you would simply come to know about him. But it is our desire that you would come to know him. That you would come to know him. Oh, my friend, I wonder, do you know Christ? I'm not asking if you know about the Lord Jesus. Some of you have been at the Sunday school and years gone past and you learned about the Lord Jesus. But I'm wondering if you've really come to know him personally. I wonder if you've come to know him as your Savior. I wonder if you know him as your Lord. I wonder, has he become everything in your life's experience? I wonder if you really come to know Jesus. That's the desire of our heart tonight, that before the meeting's finished, that you may be introduced to the Lord Jesus, and that you would come to know him personally, that you would receive him into your heart and into your life. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Mark adds, the Son of God, the Son of God. You see, Mark is really bringing before us the identity of the one that is the subject of his writing. He wants everyone to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friend, I want to take a few minutes tonight just to emphasize to all our hearts the true identity of that precious man that bore the name of Jesus. Mark says he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's a verse in the Bible that asks the question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Oh, my friend, it's vitally important that every one of us have right thoughts about the Lord Jesus. It's vitally important that we grasp the true identity of the Lord Jesus. You can make mistakes about many things in life, but my friend, don't make a mistake concerning who Christ is. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I wonder, what are your thoughts about the Lord Jesus tonight? Who do you think the Lord Jesus really is? He said there were those in his day and they said, well, he's the son of Joseph. My friend, he was never the son of Joseph. Some say, well, he was the son of Mary. And that is true. He was the son of Mary. And he was born of Mary's virgin womb. And he came into this world in all the purity of his blessed humanity. Yes, he was the son of Mary. But the Bible tells us that he was more than just the son of Mary. He was the son of God. He was the son of God. One of the other gospel records, a man called John, reaches the end of his writings. And he says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. Oh, my friend, I wonder if you grasped in your heart tonight the fact that Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus that was rejected and hung on a cross at Calvary, was no less than God's Son, the Son of God. And all the dignity of his being, and all the might of his power, and all the eternity of his existence, the Son of God became flesh. Went to a cross to die for sinners like you and like me. Oh, the wonder of the good news. Oh, the wonder of the story, the message of the Bible, that Jesus of Nazareth, the one that wore the peasant's garments, the one that worked at a carpenter's bench, the one that went about doing good and was rejected and hung on a cross, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Oh, the importance tonight of having right thoughts about Christ. Not just the son of Mary. Not just the son of David. Not just the son of Abraham. Not just the son of man. But the son of God. You see, the Lord Jesus had an existence before he was born. Bethlehem wasn't the beginning of the existence of the Lord Jesus. It was simply at Bethlehem that he came into time. The Lord Jesus, for all eternity, had dwelt in the realms of heavenly glory. The Lord Jesus had left his Father's side in heaven and took that bodily form and came into the world. Why? Why did God become flesh and dwell amongst men? Simply to provide salvation for you and for me. John tells us in his epistle at the end of the New Testament that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a message. I wonder if you can grasp that in your soul tonight. The Father, the Eternal Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to be the Savior. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God cares for you. That he sent his Son, he emptied heaven of its best, and sent his Son to that dark cross at Calvary, that you may be saved, that your sins may be cleansed, that you may be forgiven and made right with God forever. What a message. What does John say as he writes his gospel in chapter 3 and verse 16? He says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my friend, grasp it tonight. That the one that's at the center of our message, the one that's at the center of the message of the gospel, is no less than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The one that God had sent to be the Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus hung on that cross at Calvary, bearing our sins. As there he endured all the scoffing and the ridicule and the agony and the suffering that men inflicted upon him. And ultimately he bowed his head in death. One of the men that were standing around was a centurion. And as he witnessed all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, he could say truly, this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. My friend, that was the price that God was willing to pay for your salvation. That was the price that God was willing to pay to ensure that you might be with him in heaven for all eternity. And that you might have an escape from the judgment of hell that you deserve. That's the price that God was prepared to pay. To send his only begotten son, his beloved one, to send him to that shameful cross to die for your sins and mine. We read in Romans chapter 8 these wonderful words. That he spared not. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Delivered him up for us all. Oh, my friend, grasp it tonight. You're loved of God. And God has shown his love towards you. And that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. The Son of God. The mighty Creator. The one that sustains the whole universe. And yet he took upon himself the form of a man. That he might go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die for your sins and for mine. And Mark's gospel, Mark's writings were all to introduce men and women to the person of Jesus Christ, who was indeed the Son of God. Mark not only brings before us the identity of the Lord Jesus, he brings before us the immensity of the Lord Jesus. You see, John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was that messenger that was sent before him. The purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist was just to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus and to point out the Lord Jesus when he came on the scenes of time. Listen to what John the Baptist said concerning him. He says, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latcher of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Oh, he's really bringing before us the immensity, the greatness and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself said concerning John the Baptist that he was the greatest of all the prophets. In fact, he tells us there was none born of women that were greater than John. John was the best of men. And yet John says concerning the Lord Jesus, he says, you know, he says, in his presence I'm totally unworthy. He says, I'm even so unworthy that I can't even undo the laces of his shoes. He's so much greater than me. He's so higher. He's so much more glorious that in his presence, I'm totally and utterly unworthy. Oh, my friend, what I'm stressing tonight is the importance of having right thoughts about Christ. The one that we're presenting to you is no ordinary mortal. He's the greatest personage that the personage in the universe. He's the greatest man that the world has ever seen. And in comparison to the Lord Jesus, every one of us is unworthy. And that's how John felt. In the presence of the Lord Jesus, he says, I'm not even worthy to undo his laces. You know, one of the things that marks us today in our present society is pride and arrogance. That's one of the great features of our age, isn't it? Self-sufficient, proud, arrogant man. Bowing to no one. John says, listen, in comparison to Christ, he says, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. He's so great. He's so majestic. He's so wonderful. He's so glorious that I can't even stoop down and undo his laces. Oh, my friend, I trust that the Holy Spirit would impress upon your heart the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus. That in his presence, we're unworthy. We're unworthy. John's really saying, I couldn't even touch him. I could hardly even speak to him. He's so glorious. He's so great. He's so wonderful. Oh, my friend, what we need in our souls tonight is just a vision by the Spirit of Christ and the greatness and the glory of the man Christ Jesus. You see, when we start to see the Lord Jesus, who He really is, then we'll start to see ourselves as to what we really are. Way back in the Old Testament, there was a man called Isaiah, and one day he had a vision, and it says that he saw the Lord. Oh, that we might see the Lord today. It says that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole temple. They heard these great angelic beings saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And Isaiah says, "Woe is me, woe is me. I am undone. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips." And you see, you just get a little glimpse of the Lord and the greatness and the glory and the holiness of the Lord. And he saw the wretchedness and the ruin and the unworthiness and the uncleanness of his own life and his own heart. Oh, my friend, I trust thee that you will get a little glimpse of the greatness of Christ. And as you see the greatness of the Lord Jesus, that you might get a little glimpse of the helplessness and the weakness and the hopelessness of your own life. You see, you might be in the meeting tonight and you think, "Well, my life's all right, you know. I would try to keep myself on the clean side of life's experience, and I'm a good neighbour, and I'm a good friend, and I'm a good mother, and I do this and that." My friend, your life might match up well to your neighbour's, but I tell you, once we see ourselves in the light of the presence of the Lord Jesus, we're all unworthy. We're all unworthy. We're all sinners. We've all come short. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul says, that we've all sinned, and we've come short of the standard of God, the glory of God. And you see, in comparison with Christ, we're all unworthy. We're all undone. We're all unclean. We're all defiled. Oh, my friend, we're unworthy. But isn't it wonderful to think that this one, in whose presence we're unworthy, he wants to draw us to himself. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to be our Master. He wants to enter into our lives. And he wants to share with us all that he has. Oh, my friend, tonight, we just want to introduce you to Christ. That's all Mark was concerned about. That's why he picked up his pen and wrote his little gospel. He says, "I just want to introduce people to the Lord Jesus." That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're preaching in earnestness. We just want to introduce you to the Lord. There's not one of us worthy of him. There's not one of us worthy and deserving of him to be our Savior and to be our friend. We don't deserve him. But it's wonderful that he makes himself available to us. And he wants us to trust in him. He wants us to receive him into our hearts and into our lives. And so John, Mark will tell us about the identity of Christ, and then he'll speak about the immensity of Christ, the greatness of his person. And before Christ, every other man would pale into insignificance and into smallness. But then he would introduce Christ. We have him introduced there at the banks of Jordan. Even as John was baptizing in the Jordan, the Lord Jesus comes. We have his introduction. The Lord Jesus is 30 years of age at this point. He spent 30 years away down in Nazareth in absolute obscurity. Born in Bethlehem, taken down to Egypt and then brought back to Nazareth. And there he lived in the home of Mary and Joseph. And there he worked as a teenager at the carpenter's bench. And 30 years have passed. Now the Lord Jesus is leaving Nazareth behind. He's leaving the home of Mary behind, and he's leaving his brothers and sisters behind, and he's moving out into his public ministry. And he comes to Jordan, and he's baptized by John in Jordan. What an amazing thing takes place. That even as the Lord Jesus Christ rises from the waters of Jordan after his baptism, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and it rests upon him. Rests upon him. The Bible would teach us that God is in three persons. There's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is every bit as much God as the Father and the Son is. And heaven is open to testify that this man that has been baptized of John in the Jordan is absolutely and totally divine. And the Holy Spirit comes and finds its abode in him, rests in him. You see, up until that point in time, the Holy Spirit could find no abiding place amongst men. He would come upon individuals for periods of time, but here was one in whom the Holy Spirit could rest. Not only did the Holy Spirit rest in Christ, but the very heavens were open, and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, the Father is satisfied and the Father is proud to point him out. He wants to introduce him. He wants to indicate to men and women that this blessed man is his Son. That he's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of us receiving him into our lives. He's the one that will satisfy us. He's the one that will save us. He's the one that will forgive us. He's the one that will reconcile us back to God. And the Father wants everyone to know, this is my Son. Hear him, trust him, follow him. Oh, my friend, I wonder, will you trust Christ? I wonder, will you receive him? I wonder, are you prepared to follow him? He's the Son of God. No mere ordinary man that will let you down. In times of trouble and difficulty, my friend, he promises that he'll stick closer to us than a brother. He's dependable, he's reliable. The one that we're seeking to introduce you to tonight is God's Son. God's Son. The one that came from heaven and died on a cross in order to save you from your sins and reconcile you to God and give your life abundant. I wonder, will you trust him tonight? He's worthy of trust. Heaven satisfied with him. The heart of the Father is delighted in all that Christ is and all that Christ has done. I wonder, my friend, will you come tonight and find your satisfaction and find your delight and give your life abundant? I wonder, will you trust him tonight? He's worthy of trust. Heaven satisfied with him. The heart of the Father is delighted in all that Christ is and all that Christ has done. I wonder, my friend, will you come tonight and find your satisfaction and find your delight in the one that the Father delights in? My friend, if Christ can satisfy the heart of the Father, he can satisfy my heart, he can satisfy yours. Heaven's open says, this is my beloved, this is my Son, in him I find I am well pleased. My friend, I want to tell you, I'm well pleased with Christ. Well, there must be times in my life where he's nobody pleased with me, because even as a Christian, there's times that I slip up, and there's times that I sin, and there's times that I fail. There's times when he's nobody well pleased with me, but I want to tell you, I'm well pleased with him. He's not a disappointment. And there's many Christians in this hall tonight, and I tell you, if they get the opportunity to come up here, they would tell you as well that they're well pleased and they're well satisfied with Christ. He's never let them down. And when they came to them in all their need as a sinner, he took them in and he cleansed them from their sin and he brought them into God's family. And from the moment he saved them up until now, he satisfied them. It's not a disappointment. Oh, my friend, I want just to introduce you to Christ. He's the best friend a man or a woman could ever have. He's a glorious Saviour. He's a mighty Lord. He's God's Son. And God finds all his pleasure in him. And God wants you to find all your pleasure and all your delight and all your fulfillment in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. But I notice if the dove descended on Christ, and the heaven was open to declare the Father's pleasure in his Son, I noticed that he was driven by the angels into the wilderness because there was an angry devil, there was an angry enemy that was after Christ. For 40 days, the Lord Jesus was in that lonely wilderness, tempted of the enemy, tempted of the devil. The devil's real, you know, Satan's real. One of the tragedies of our modern society is there are multitudes of people, younger people and older people, and they're dabbling in the realms of the devil. And we think of the occult and all its different dimensions, and all its tentacles reaching out into society, and multitudes have been drawn into the domain of darkness. Many folks, through the use of drugs, are opening their mind and they're opening their hearts to the inroads of the enemy and the powers of darkness. You know what the Bible tells us about our present society? It says the whole world just lies in the lap of the wicked one. Is it any wonder we're living in an anti-Christian age? Is it any wonder that the moral standards are collapsing all around us? Is it any wonder that wave and wave after immorality and violence crashes around us? The whole world that we live in, the whole world system, it's in the lap of the wicked one. And he's a destroyer. That's one of the names that the Bible gives to him in the book of Revelation. He's a bad one. He's a destroyer. We don't need to look too far to see his work, do we? He destroys life. He destroys homes. He destroys society. My friend, the enemy's a destroyer. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world. The one that would become accountable for man's sin on the cross. The one that would make it possible for men to be released from the power of sin and the power of Satan and brought back into a relationship with God. The Lord Jesus, he comes onto the scene of time and he becomes the object of satanic attack. For 40 days he's tempted of the enemy. Satan tries to get him to disobey his God. Satan tries to get him to fall into sin. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely victorious because the Lord Jesus didn't sin and he couldn't sin. He was God in flesh. You know what it's like when you're faced with temptation. There's just that within our hearts that just responds, doesn't it? You know what it's all about, don't you? Every day we face temptation. Temptation to sin. Temptation to do that which is wrong. That which is against God. And we've got hardly an ounce of resistance. And when temptation comes, we just fall in there. My friend, here was one that was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he never fell into one of them. He was absolutely victorious then. Whereas the whole world is lying in the lap of the wicked one, and men are being enticed and entangled by the wicked one, day in and day out, here was one that was victorious over him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not only victorious over the enemy during these 40 days in the wilderness, because the Bible says that after that he left him for a season. He was back time and time again, and his final attack was when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. And Satan and all his hordes, all his demon powers, had one last final go at Christ when he hung in all his loneliness and suffering in Calvary. Way back in the Old Testament, there's prophecies in relation to the suffering of the Lord Jesus, and one of the prophecies is these, that the pangs of hell got hold of me, and all the powers of darkness and the powers of hell were arrayed against Christ at the cross. And praise God, he was not only victorious over the devil in the wilderness, but he was victorious over him at the cross as well. He defeated him. The Bible says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to bind the strong man and to spoil his goods. And there's one that has defeated the enemy. There's one that has conquered the devil. And there's one that has been raised victorious from the realms of the dead. And he's alive in heaven tonight. And he's able to save completely, to deliver completely all those that come to God by him. My friend, we're here to tell you there's a way back to God tonight. There's a way of escape from the bondage of sin. There's a way of escape from the captivity of the enemy. There's a way out tonight. And that way out is through Christ, the glorious Son of God that the Father sent to be the Saviour of the world. My friend, we're just trying to introduce you to Christ. That's the only purpose that we're here. My friend, don't miss him tonight. Don't miss him. You might never get an opportunity to trust the Saviour. You might never get another opportunity to come to know him. The one whom to know is life eternal. There's life in Christ. There's happiness in him. There's satisfaction in him. There's joy in him. There's everything you need to delight your heart. It's all found in Christ. And you can come to know him. He's just available for you to come to. He says, come to me. All those that are weary and heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. Is that what you're looking for? Are you sick and tired tonight? That's really where the nation of Israel was. When the Lord Jesus appeared on the scene 2,000 years ago, they were sick and tired. They were tired of their bondage. They were tired of the enemy that had overtaken them and had succumbed them. They had succumbed to them. And there they were. They were weary and they were heavy laden. They were sick and they were tired. And the Lord Jesus stretched out his hands. He says, come to me.
He's got you there tonight, eh? You're weak, you're weary, and you're tired, and you're heavy laden, and you're burdened, and you're distressed, and you're guilt-ridden, and you're in bondage. The Lord Jesus is coming to you. My friend, He'll do better for you in the world than ever do. All the pleasures in the world will never satisfy you, you know. You can get as much of them as you like, and I'll tell you, they'll never really satisfy you just for a wee while, and then you're back for more and more, aren't you? My friend, I tell you, the Lord Jesus is the water that I give you shall be in your well of water, springing up into everlasting life. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to give. That's what He's purchased for you. By His death on the cross at Calvary, Mark says it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, listen, I've only got one purpose in mind, and that is to introduce you to Christ, the Son of God. My friend, I've only one purpose of you here, and that's just to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's come to me, and I will give you this. Will you just come to me? Just in simple faith, leave behind the burden of your sin, and just come. And trust Him to be your Savior. Trust Him to be your Lord and Master. And bless you, pray. Our gracious Father and God, we thank You for this meeting. We thank You, Father, for this message that we have to present in the meeting. This message concerning the Lord Jesus and His ability to save completely all those that will come to Thee by Him. Sin, our God, has robbed us of so much. We thank our God of all that we were intended to be as members of the human race made in Thine image. And yet, our God, that has all been robbed from us. Thy desire that we would enjoy intimate communion with Thee, that we would grow in our knowledge of Thee, that we would delight, our God, in the things that Thou dost delight in. But, oh God, the enemy has come in and robbed us of that. And we think of all the brokenness and the ruin that marks our lives because of sin and because of the work of the enemy. But we thank You, our God, there's one that has conquered the enemy. One, our God, that has triumphed over Him on the cross. He could cry, finished. And Satan was defeated, and the Lord Jesus was raised triumphantly from the dead. And there's coming a day when He'll confine the enemy to that bottomless pit, and ultimately, our God, cast him into the depths of the everlasting fires. We thank You, our God, that the doom of the enemy is already sealed. We praise Thee for the victory of the cross. And we thank You, our God, that that victory can become real in the lives of individuals tonight, if they'll just come in simple faith to the Lord Jesus. And He'll break the bondage of sin that binds them. He'll deliver them from the stranglehold of Satan. He'll set them free. And He'll come in, our God, to their lives with that cleansing power and that healing power. And He'll take their broken lives and transform them and make them something for Thy glory and Thy pleasure. Oh God, we thank Thee for the power of the risen Lord Jesus. And we pray that some would experience that power in their own lives tonight as they come to Him for salvation. As we ask it in Jesus' name for His glory. I was just going to sing a hymn, just in closing. It's hymn number 292. We're just going to keep our seats. 292. We'll just sing the first and last verses. And after that, the meeting is finished. We just want to thank you again for coming. Remind you of the meeting tomorrow night again at 8 o'clock. And we'll be glad to see you again. If we've said anything that you don't understand, or if you want to speak to us personally about any of these matters, then we're available. I'll be standing at the back just to shake hands. If you want to speak to us, then just let that be known to us. And we're quite happy just to sit by your side and just to point you afresh to the person of the Lord Jesus, that you would come to know Him personally as your Saviour tonight. 292, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, says verse 4, Thy love.